are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock with you once again on this Tuesday episode, breaking down the first padded practice of 49ers training camp. Yes, they finally put the pads on, and we've got football coming up this week, the Hall of Fame game. Football's upon us. They're practicing in pads. It is getting real, folks. So some camp reports about what happened in practices once the pads came on, and we're going to hear from some of the parties involved, including first-round draft pick Nick Bosa, who's been one of the early stars of camp. We're going to hear from Coach Kyle Shanahan again, who's doing pretty much a press conference after every single practice, which I don't remember if it was always like that. I think that's sort of a newer development, right? We're going to hear from Solomon Thomas, former very high first-round draft pick, and we need some representation from the offense, so Matt Breida took the podium, and we will hear his thoughts on what the running back room looks like now in 2019. A little more crowded. He doesn't sound worried about that at all. In fact, a little excited, maybe. You can follow along on the new Himalaya podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Your favorite podcast app has this show and all of the programs on the network, including the new Locked On NFL podcast featuring yours truly, along with former NFL scout Matt Williamson. We are bringing you league-wide information on the NFL daily here on the network. And if you want to double the Peacock, you got it. Now I am co-hosting the Locked On NFL podcast, so you're going to want to subscribe to that one. Hit me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email LockedOn49ers at Gmail. You can find streams of this show, where to subscribe, and other stuff at LockedOn49ers.com. This podcast brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Greg's Tax Service can help you with all of your tax needs, whether it be unfiled tax returns, back taxes, IRS collection, audit representation. Greg's Tax Service has been in business for 25 years. They're honest and straightforward. You can find out more on their website at gregstaxservice.com. 49ers training camp getting a little chippy and a little physical even before the pads went on. 49ers rookie wide receiver Jalen Hurd getting into a scuffle or two. And then it was up to the defensive backs to answer that and counter once the pads came on. And Akella Witherspoon did that. There's a great video of it that I saw today come down the timeline. And definitely one of my two favorite plays from camp. So let's start with the two highlights from camp on Monday's padded practice. Number one, I think, is Akella Witherspoon. He intercepted a pass intended for that rookie wide receiver, Jalen Hurd. Then Spoon tossed the ball back to Hurd after the play as if to say, like, yeah, that's how you win a fight, is you win the football and you win the game inside the game here. We don't have to throw punches to get the W. And I love the competitiveness in camp, and especially with the wide receiver and cornerback groups. Both rooms might have needed a little edge this year. So if any early camp scrap helps set the intensity and the attitude of those rooms, that's probably a good thing. And so I don't really have a problem with it. And hearing more reports about what it looked like, and after they went back and watched the tape of the Jalen Hurd situation, he pancakes a dude blocking him, and the guy didn't like it. I don't know if it was Antoine Exum or if it was Dante Johnson. The original reports were Johnson. Then I heard Exum was involved in the scuffle as well. But if you can't handle a block from the rookie, then it's not good for you. And so, and the defensive back is the one that threw the first punch. And then Jalen Hurd retaliated. And more on that later. That is where Hurd went wrong. And, you know, going to the ground in a fight and throwing punches against your own team in training camp, not good. But Kyle Shanahan, as we will hear later, used it as a teaching point. Highlight number two that stuck out to me, and thanks to my guy Eric Crocker for posting this one on Twitter, Richie James. Well, there's two actually. First, he caught a bomb from Jimmy Garoppolo, a beautiful pass from Jimmy Garoppolo deep down the field to Richie James, who got himself wide open past the corner and the safety early in practice. Came on a play-action pass, if I'm not mistaken, in one of the first sessions in practice. And then came back with an ankle-breaking comeback route on cornerback Greg Maben later in practice, which was Crocker's route of the day. And yeah, he broke some ankles on that one, broke on a dime. And that was fun to see my guy, Richie James. If you listen to the show, you know Richie James is one of my guys. It looks like he had a really good day in camp, catching him short, catching him long, running routes, showing off his speed. And so got to love that. And just really excited for this wide receiver battle in camp. It's really fun already. You know, every day we've heard reports from different guys, and Trent Taylor is another one whose name has come up a lot and looked really good. The coaches have had a lot of very nice things to say about Jordan Matthews, although Crocker's scouting report on Matthews is not as glowing, looking a little sluggish out there, but it takes all types, and he's a different style of player, different size of player, and so we'll see how Kyle Shanahan ultimately wants to break camp with these guys and how he wants to put these guys together, and what different skill sets he's looking for when he's putting together his entire wide receiver group. You know, and it made me think back to when I had Richie James on this very podcast, and I interviewed him before his rookie season. It was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, actually. It was, I think, before training camp last year. Rookie Richie James joined me on the show here, and he talked about route running, and he talked about how it hurts to be a good route runner. And I didn't understand what he meant right away when he said that. And then I kind of realized it. And when you see that clip of him running that route, you realize how violent of a movement it is and the motion it takes to break like that and to move like that. And it's painful to put in the work and all the time it takes to be a good route runner. So I really love the way he put that to me, talking about route running. It hurts to be a good route runner. And then I thought, you know what also hurts? Maybe even more, as much as it hurts to become a really great route runner, probably hurts even more to get beat like Maben did, and sort of like when you get crossed over on a basketball court. Similar story here on the football field when someone breaks like that on a route and you're full speed in the wrong direction for a few steps and you can't gather and get back. And it was a good look from Richie James in camp. So we've seen some highlights from a few players in camp. Glowing reports for a lot of guys, not a lot of players getting really bad reports, very few bad reports I've seen out there, which is a pretty good sign for the 49ers in the early going of training camp. And of course, we can't put too much onto any one day, one week, a couple of plays of practice. It's just, you can't do it, even though it's fun. It's the first football we've had in a while, and they've got the pads on. They're practicing, they're hitting each other, so you want to sort of overvalue everything you see, every bit of information. Slow down. You know, it's going to be a whole process of multiple practices, multiple weeks, multiple preseason games to shake this whole thing out. And hopefully the team is ready to go when they break camp and competition and much more depth on this team that should be fun to watch in those preseason games. I want to get to the audio that I collected from the press conferences at training camp. And there's also one other play. I talked about the two highlight plays that were my favorites from Monday's padded practice in camp. But there was another play that might not have been a wow highlight play, but it was very important. And I want to talk about that next. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Be free and put these tax problems behind you. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping clients resolve their tax issues and get them all the deductions and credits they are entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871 or make an appointment online at gregstaxservice.com. And if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service, for all your tax needs, Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. So I don't know where everybody is listening to this podcast right now. I know a lot of folks are in their car, but maybe if you're out for a jog or you're walking down the street or you happen to be standing up somewhere, I advise everybody to sit down when they hear about a play that happened at practice, and it was Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo scrambled. He ran with the football in the middle of the field where he could have been hit. He could have tried to make a cut and gain more yards and tear his ACL. But no, he did not. He hit the deck. He slid as he should be. And I hope he was, along with spending time with Tom House, the quarterback throwing guru, I hope he spent some time with maybe someone like Gary Pettis, Dante's dad, and learned how to slide properly. And we need to see a lot of getting out of bounds and sliding if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to become a ball carrier, which he's going to have to do at some point in the season. And he scrambled for 15 yards without incident. And it's a hurdle that he needed to cross. And from all reports with Jimmy Garoppolo, he was throwing a pretty ball. The day before didn't have the best day. I believe it was hitting 5 of 12. It was a shorter practice Monday, but throwing beautiful passes around the field. Multiple reports of great throws down the field. Talked about the bomb to Richie James, and there were others too. So great stuff from Jimmy Garoppolo, really coming along with that knee injury. And it's nice to see him not think about it and take off and scramble for 15 yards. By the way, Kyle Shanahan, we will hear from him more and more on Jimmy Garoppolo, but he did say on KNBR Monday that Jimmy G would play in the second and third preseason games, but he will not appear in the first or fourth preseason games. So that's when we'll see Jimmy Garoppolo. And that third game is the important one. That's the tune-up. That's where the starters usually play a full half. I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo will play as much as the other starters, but he will get some game action this preseason in weeks 2 and 3. But Kyle Shanahan did say he reserves the right to change that decision. But we'll see. Right now, that's the plan. Weeks 2 and 3 of the preseason, we'll see some Jimmy Garoppolo in action. And I guess this is a great spot to plug that in. Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan on the podium talking about whether or not he wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo from running and wanted to keep him solely in the pocket.
No, I want him to do more, but I want him to get down. I mean, you don't tell a guy, I mean, we never just look to scramble. That's why we got a throwing quarterback who looks down the field and tries to get the ball to people, but you never tell a guy not to scramble because the other option is just sit there and get hit. So if no one's open and no one's sacking you, I loved what I saw today because no one was open, the seas parted, and he turned it into a draw, and that was an exciting play. He got 15 yards, and then I think he fake slid, but hopefully that'll be real in the game. But that's tough when it's man coverage. When it's man coverage, no one's looking at the quarterback. Everyone disperses, covering the receivers. Who's left in the middle? And if you have a quarterback who will run when the time presents itself, it hurts the defense.
And that's the way it should be. The natural flow of the game, quarterbacks need to get out. They need to get on the move and make some plays. And we've seen that from some of the greats in 49ers history. Sometimes it's graceful. Sometimes it's a stumbling long touchdown run, like some famous ones from Steve Young and even Joe Montana, even though he wasn't, you know, a big runner and rusher for a lot of yardage, he could move and he had great feet and he got out of the pocket and he could scramble when he needed to. And so sometimes you got to extend that play and you can't keep your quarterback from doing that. So that's part of the process, getting Jimmy healthy, getting him back to the point where, you know, it's no problem. I mean, if a running back can come back and play in the NFL after a torn ACL and a linebacker can come back and play after a torn ACL, a quarterback should be able to come back and at least scramble a few times a season when necessary. So you hope that Garoppolo is not hampered by that injury and he comes back and he's strong. He's not thinking about it. And he's able to have all of his mechanics that he wants as a thrower and also be able to get out of the pocket and make some plays with his feet. It's part of the game. And I think everybody was wondering, and the beat writers were too, because they asked him the question about what the verdict was. What is the verdict with the scuffle, the Jalen Hurd multiple fights from Sunday at training camp? Who was really at fault?
Well, we fought, so everyone's wrong. You know, it was, you never know until you get to watch the tape. It was a good teaching moment. I'm kind of glad it happened because we were allowed to cover a lot of stuff that I hadn't covered this camp yet, that the older guys have heard, but the new guys haven't. So it led to a lot of good teaching points in our meeting today. But I was, for the beginning part, I was proud of how Jalen handled himself. That's why we brought him here. We wanted him to be physical. We wanted him to irritate the heck out of every player in that secondary, and I hope he pisses people off, and I hope a lot of guys throw punches at him. And that's what happened. And I looked hard to see if he was doing anything cheap in the play. Didn't see it on tape. But someone took a shot at him, and then that's where I got upset with Jalen, because he's going to piss a lot of people off, and I hope a lot of people take shots at him, and I hope he sits there with his helmet on and smiles at him and waves to him as they get ejected and gets us a free 15 yards. But he failed in that yesterday. He got the guy irritated enough to lose his composure. The guy hit him, and then he fought back. So we lost both of them for the game, and we had offsetting penalties, so he didn't help us. But that was a good thing to point out, that we want physical guys. We want people to get after it and compete. We want them on the tip of fighting, but football's not fighting. Football's football. You get as close as you can to fighting, and then you remember it's football, and the play's over, and you go back to the huddle. And if you don't, it's a selfish act, and it's fake toughness to me. All you're doing is hurting the team. And Jalen's a tough dude, and I think he'll be real good at this going forward.
So he didn't go full Singletary there, but yeah, it's good and bad. You love the toughness, you love the physicality, but you can't be stupid. You can't put your teammates in harm's way in practice. It's just dumb. You can't hurt each other in practice. You also can't get a flag thrown. You don't want to piss off Wink and get a bunch of flags thrown your way. You want to be the Wink and the Stink after a bunch of flags are getting kicked out of a game for fighting. So that doesn't help the team at all. But if Jalen Hurd's going to take his blocking that seriously, that maybe does add some credence to the possibility of him being an H-back and being someone who's lining up everywhere as tight end, in line, out on the wing, split out wide, in the backfield. And I like it. True OW. And when it comes to being a true wide receiver, I don't know if it's great that the only reports that have involved you in training camp is balls intended to go your way getting picked off, or you getting in a fight because you're blocking too hard. But we'll see. It's going to be a little bit of a longer road, and that's how I thought it was going to be for Jalen Hurd. So we'll see. Is he a wide receiver? Is he an H-back? How quickly is he going to come along, and is he going to be able to carve himself a role as a rookie, which is difficult already, especially when you've only played the position that you're playing for 1 year in college. But I imagine he's going to get a ton of run in those preseason games, so that'll be fun to monitor as we go forward. Speaking of wide receivers, one more comment from Kyle Shanahan, and it really goes along with all of the reports we've heard about Trent Taylor, the third-year wide receiver, really having a great camp, looking much more like that guy we saw in 2017. Coach, how does Trent Taylor compare to last year?
Much better. I mean, he had an offseason, and you know, we were real excited about Trent the first year, and he battled all the second year and just never got back to where it worries you, but we knew what he was, and it was really nice when he came back from his time away, his 4 months away, that we saw it right away. He kept that going throughout OTAs, staying healthy, and 40 days later, he came back even better, so we're excited about Trent.
And a healthy Trent Taylor is a darn near lock to make the roster. So to go with the rookie second and third rounders this year in Deebo Samuel and Jalen Hurd, the rookie second rounder from 2018 in Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin is pretty close to a lock as well. That's already five. They might only keep one more wide receiver, which means it is a dogfight between some of the undrafted free agents, Malik Henry out there making some plays, and Richie James, Kendrick Bourne, and Jordan Matthews. That's going to be a dogfight. That's if everybody's healthy. That's if there's no surprise cuts. It's going to be a good one. Those preseason games, man, they're going to say a lot. And these practices are going to say a lot. It's important. And training camp's not very long. Could the 49ers keep seven wide receivers? I don't know. It's an interesting concept. I think they probably could. But they'd have to get creative. All right, still got to get to sound from Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, and Matt Breida. This podcast is brought to you in part by Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. You may have seen them on Shark Tank. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% at manscaped.com with promo code LOCKEDON. So Nick Bosa made friends quickly. He's got a new bestie in 49ers camp, and it is a friendship that is quite unexpected, a defensive end and an offensive tackle. And even though Nick Bosa beat Joe Staley early in camp, they have become friends and hopefully helping each other out along the way. Here's the young Bosa on Joe Staley.
We've built a really good relationship. He's super nice guy. I don't usually be nice to offensive linemen, but it's hard not to be nice to him. He's such a good dude, and he's been a really good influence on me. It's good to go against one of the best every day, and any reps I could get against him are good reps for me.
Not only is it the first padded practice for the 49ers this season, for someone like Nick Bosa, who missed a lot of time dating back to his final year at Ohio State, it's been a while, and you could tell he was borderline emotional that he finally got to put the pads on and play some contact football.
Throwing on the shoulder pads today, it was a shock to me how long it's been. I don't think I've ever taken a break that long since I was 7 years old, so it was different, but it's just the best feeling ever, especially in the weather out here. Feels great out there, no humidity, so it just couldn't be happier.
So all positive vibes from Nick Bosa. He's got a new friend. He's happy to be in camp with pads on, in the heat, practicing football and playing well, showing off some power, showing off some speed, showing off some good hips, according to Joe Staley. So all positive news coming from camp in regards to Nick Bosa. And I talked about Jimmy Garoppolo scrambling. Nick Bosa, not only is he a beast, he's a smart guy. He was asked if he was going to put his hands on the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to that. We did that in college, so I'll dive out of the way and hurt myself before I touch him.
And that's mostly the right answer. You don't have to go as far as hurting yourself, but nobody should be putting their hands on Jimmy Garoppolo anytime soon. So we've talked a lot about Solomon Thomas and his rough year he went through last year and how, I mean, it goes beyond football, and he deserves a pass for having a rough season on the field and coming back reinvigorated, coming back refreshed, coming back with a better mindset this year, and how it was John Lynch, the general manager for the 49ers, that was one of the key pieces in helping him through that.
John's meant the world to me, you know, from being in my first class at Stanford to drafting me to being one to reach out to me in the hardest times of my life. He's meant the world to me, and I can't thank him enough for everything. More than a GM to me, that's different in this kind of atmosphere in business, but he is, and I can't thank him and his family enough for everything they've done for me.
Yeah, I was deep in the middle of through the grieving phase of my life, through losing my sister, and it was just a tough time for me, and I wasn't handling it well mentally, wasn't reaching out for help, and then finally when I reached out for help and got to a lighter place and kind of let that storm kind of go away, started seeing everything more clearly and living a better life. So it's just something I work on daily. It's still a struggle, but daily I just try to work on my mental health, taking care of me, showing myself self-love, talking positively, just trying to like live like a better life and live a happier life. So I just it's a lot of work, but if you work at it, it's just like working on your body. You got to work on your brain. So just trying to do all that and keep mentally free and just enjoying this life.
Solomon Thomas is said to be playing at around 270 or in the 270s somewhere, so a little bit lighter this year. I don't know if that will hinder or help his ability in the interior, but he's still going to probably get some looks outside, but that penetrating interior defensive tackle is really what I'm looking for from Solomon Thomas this year, and he does have some competition wherever he's going to line up, but it's going to be a strong rotation, and I think he can be a huge part of that and really recover his career, because it was headed in a really bad direction after last year when you're such a disappointing, very high draft pick and there's so much expectations put on you. And now, as he spoke of earlier, getting in a better mental place and physically in great shape, working out with Aaron Donald and looking all ripped in the offseason, the quote-unquote best shape of your life, and I totally believe he is, looking at those photos of him from working out in the offseason, and now he's got to put it all together and put that on the field. And the 49ers are all going to be studly anyway on the defensive line. You add a potential number 3 overall pick that had disappointed. If he lives up to that suddenly, I mean, look out. That front could be crazy. The last player we're going to hear from on this episode is running back Matt Breida, led the 49ers in rushing last year. I think he's still the dark horse to lead the 49ers in rushing again, even though they have so much talent with Jerick McKinnon being healthy and coming back, and he might start practicing as early as, say, Thursday this week and get cleared and maybe see him on the field, and he'll be a big part of things, as will Tevin Coleman. And it doesn't sound like Matt Breida is too worried about the competition and, in fact, might enjoy being able to be in a room with all of those talented players and have the opportunity to get better.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great because we push each other every day, you know. I feel like it's going to make us a great running back room. And it's just awesome being there with those guys and just learning from them, picking their brains because, you know, I'm one of the younger, you know, out of Tevin and Jet and Raheem and them and Juice. So it's just awesome to pick their brains. And then it helps, too, like the young guys like Austin and Jeff, you know, they could pick our brains and get better.
Okay, so how is Matt Breida going to stand out from that pack? And how are they going to win carries from each other?
Honestly, like you said, I just think we're all pretty much even, you know, pretty much saying we all can catch, we all can run fast. And we all can, you know, do the pass blocking part. And, you know, I just feel like all of us together, it's going to be a great year this year. And like I said, I just can't wait to get out there with those guys.
You know, I wonder if running back competitions amongst teammates is a little bit less fierce than some other positions because, like, say, quarterback, there's only going to be one quarterback on the field at all times. But at running back, you're going to have a rotation of guys always, even if someone is the bell cow back. You maybe don't want too many carries on your body, and we saw what a lot of carries did to Matt Breida last year, and he dealt with that ankle all year. And it was funny, he was asked about that and what it was like playing through pain and playing through that injury all year, and he was basically like, yeah, I don't know, you're always hurt as a football player, so it doesn't matter. Which is kind of an awesome answer. He's like, nah, doesn't matter. I will play hurt. I will play through it. That's what happens. So hopefully he'll have to do that less because there's so much talent in the running back room. They'll all be able to stay healthy. They will all be able to contribute. They will all be able to show off that speed, make big plays, that home run ability that Matt Breida alluded to just a moment ago. And everybody can contribute in the pass game. So you don't have to have super defined roles with this group of running backs, which I think is going to be a lot more fun for Kyle Shanahan this year to have that depth, unlike years past. Okay, that's it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow, another Winky Wednesday. Keep those mailbag questions coming to me on Twitter, @BDPeacock. Talk to you then right here on Locked On 49ers.